I'd like to go to Luke chapter 9. We're talking about the issue of evangelism, and today I wanted to talk more about surrendering in evangelism. And in Luke chapter 9, we see here that Jesus is leaving Galilee area, and he's no longer going to do ministry there. He's walking toward Jerusalem. This is where he's going to go to commit to the cross. And so from this point on, he's going to have true disciples along his side. There's a lot of people that want to be around Jesus. There's a lot of people that want to hear him. They want to be his disciple. They want to learn under him. But it's really the true disciples who are going to go the distance. And so now he comes and he challenges them. He's going to confront those who are not really all that committed. And he's also going to use this as a test, as he always does, to the 12 that were watching. Imagine as he's walking, he's going to leave this area and he's going to go to Jerusalem. This is the whole purpose of him being here. He just spent all these years with them, training them, going around these areas. And now he's going to use these uncommitted people. I believe even these people are probably saved. They have a desire to follow the Lord. They most likely were saved. But he really wanted to use this as a test to the 12 disciples, those that were really following him. And it says here in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the gospel of God, the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What do we see here? We see Jesus challenging these people. And what we notice, the main thing that we notice is what he's getting at is he's challenging their surrender. He's challenging their comfort zone. Their comfort zone. Many of us have comfort zones. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we have a boundary and we say, we're not going to step outside of this. And in verse 57, we see this man comes up to him and says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, Jesus knew where he was going, and it was going to be tough. He even knew Peter, the one who was supposed to be the most devoted. Peter was going to deny him. And so this man is coming up to him and saying, I will go wherever you will. He says, wow, you're committed. But notice, he talks about where he's going to sleep. Where he's going to sleep. You know, it's interesting how we can let the simplest things, the comfort of where we're going to sleep, hinder us from doing something great for God. And this man, he was not going to follow Jesus if he couldn't sleep in a nice bed. He wasn't going to follow Jesus if it was going to be a little bit hard, if it was going to be outside of his comfort zone. And we see also that these other men, they're challenged because they really have excuses. They want to show to everybody that they're committed. You know, we all want to believe that we'll go the distance. But real service doesn't start in our hearts real service doesn't start until our hearts are truly in it. And this will show. It will show because we will have true compassion. And one of the things I learned about being in Africa was having true compassion. And that took having really my heart in it. You can't just perform. You can't just show up. And the Africans, they will see it right away. And the people that you're going to reach, they're going to see it right away. They're going to know this person, they're either here for a paycheck, this person, they're just here to look good to others. You know, they get that all the time. But to really have true compassion, to have your heart in it and to truly care, to truly listen and to spend time with people. That's going to take some real surrender. We need some true compassion. The other thing that it's going to show when we're truly in it is our attitude is going to change. We're not going to feel snobby or that we're better than others or that we have this spoiled attitude. And, you know, in places, third world countries, it's hard not to. It's hard. I remember going to his house. I don't think it was this day, but it was probably the next time I went to visit him. And I showed up, and I don't know if I said I was hungry that day, but I showed up and, you know, he had his food right out and he said, I said, oh, okay, I guess you're going to eat before we Bible study. And he was like, no, we're going to eat. And then, you know, he had a fork for me and I could not identify the food. And I thought, okay, this is the one area that I wasn't prepared for. You know, I could do everything else, but not the food. And this was really where I knew in my heart, like, wow, this is going to have to really be worked on right here. I'm going to have to give this up. It's not that important. It's not that important. And if they're going to be able to do it, they can eat the food. And I believe that there's a real God, He can take care of me. He can take care of me. You know, and it's going to make a big difference. And it made a big difference. You could see it. From that day forward, every time I would go up to new people, they would offer me food. It was a regular thing. And the moment that you would just, without hesitation, say, sure, I would love to eat with you. They open their home. They open their ears. They're all ears to you. They'll sit there and listen to you for an hour. If not, they're not really going to listen that well. So it does make a big difference. Also, our worldview is going to change. You know, we're going to go from wanting the dream life, wanting the riches of this world. And if our hearts are truly in what God wants us to do, if we're a true disciple, we're going to say, yes, I will go wherever you go, Lord. I'm not just saying it. I will go wherever you want me to go. If you make it clear to me, fine. Then our dream life, our life of wanting to go after the riches of this world and live the ultimate life, we're going to say, no, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to redeem the time. I want to see people saved. I want to do what matters in eternity. I was thinking about what Pastor said this morning and how far down Jesus had to go, how low He had to go to save us. And how we're so unwilling to do the same for others. We say, oh, I won't go down there. I'll go to the rich community. I'll go to the nice places. I'll go to the nice house. They're nice. If they let me in their home, everything's clean. It's good. But then we say, oh, that's too low for me. But how low did Jesus come for us? But let's consider Peter. Because Peter is hearing these men and he's seeing Jesus challenge them. He's seeing Jesus say, oh, you want to follow me? Okay, well, give up your riches. Give up the nice things that you have. If you really want to follow me, you really want your life to count for me, I want to see you come out of your comfort zone. And I bet Peter was there and he was listening and he thought, man, that's going to be me. I can't wait. Jesus, where are we going? I'm following you. And he did. He did for a while. And then we know he denied the Lord. But then the Lord came back and gave him another chance. If we go to John chapter 21, we see here in verse 18. Because Jesus wanted to challenge him. Jesus wanted to now challenge Peter. He already was challenging these men that weren't really following. They weren't really committed. But now Peter was supposed to be committed. Peter was supposed to go all the way. And so he looks to Peter and he now says, verily I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. If you skip down to verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So here we have the scene. We have Jesus, and he says, this is what's going to happen at the last days for you. At your last days, it's not going to be... It's not going to be pretty. And as you saw me die, it's going to be something similar. And we see this is a big challenge. Now imagine, Peter probably thought, man, the glory of following God. I can't wait to see God do victorious things in my life and to use me in great ways. And he says, okay, but this is going to be your end. And so what does Peter do? Peter goes, oh, whoa. And he turns. And Peter turns. And he sees John. And it says here, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee, verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith, Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He's talking about John. And he says, well, what about this man? And it's interesting when we're evangelizing, when we're serving God, when we're going out, when we're being his disciple, and we can't just do what he wants us to do. We have to worry about what others are doing. Oh, man, God, that's my calling for you? Well, what are they doing? You know, it could be a real temptation when you're overseas and you think, oh, man, everybody else, they're living a great life. They're living in comfort. They have all the comforts, and I'm here suffering. And it's so easy to think, if we don't see somebody right next to us doing what we are doing, then they must not be so surrendered. They must not be doing as much. If they're not doing what we can see them doing, then they must not be as surrendered. But we have to be careful. If we look at this passage, we see that John was used in a great way. John actually had the longest life out of all these disciples. Now, we don't know everything that they did, and we believe that obviously Peter had great victories and God used him in great ways. But we see just from face value, John lived a great life for the Lord. And he wrote a lot of the Bible. And so we know that he was used in a great way. You know, it lets us really see that most of the times when we're looking around and we're saying, oh, what about that person? Okay, this is my calling, but what about them? Sometimes that person that we're pointing at and we think they're not going to do as much as us, they're not doing as much as us, there's no way they're as surrendered as us, they might just be doing way more than you ever knew. And so we need to be careful and focused on what God has for us as a disciple. As we go out and evangelize, what does God have for us? What is our responsibility? You know, it can be a real temptation, especially when I was over there and I was by myself and I thought, who else would do this? And thoughts would come into my head. Oh, I bet nobody would go and do this and nobody would go here. And I had to cast those down. I said, it doesn't matter. This is what God wants for me. Amen. And verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, if I will what he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. So today I just want to challenge us on, will we really follow Jesus wherever he goes? Thank you.